and he doesn't have anyone can do as they please. It was time for his woman to join him. He wanted to show her off to those at the party. She was truly the kind of beauty that turned heads as she walked into a room. So she came into the room, or she was to come into the room so he could show her off and show that she belonged only to him. However, she refused to enter the room and play his game. This caused our leader great humiliation. He appeared weak to those under his rule. She just disappeared, though, and was never heard from again. Now, our leader is looking for a new lady. Every girl in the area tries out for this position, including our young orphan. Unknowingly, her cousin is so proud, and he encourages her to do her best. It was said, though, that once a girl tried out, she never returned to her family again. But our orphan was chosen for the short list. She is taken with the other girls to the area, and for a year, she's given the best of everything. Beauty treatments to make her face look beautiful, oils and to make her skin soft, soaps for bathing, the finest makeup. She's got clothing from the latest designers and jewelry that has the look of wealth and a beauty and a person who has the means to afford this. We might say, wow, that's a great experience for a young girl, especially an orphan. She will have position and prestige and live in luxury. Thanks to the coaching of one of the staff, she learns how to please others around her and develops her people skills. But is this a plush existence, or is it a pointless imprisonment? The day comes for the decision to be made about who will be chosen. Our young orphan is chosen, and she becomes Queen Esther and sits on the throne beside King Xerxes. We will hear about our orphan who wore a crown later. So was Esther given great honor and privilege, or was she a victim of human trafficking? Don't answer that yet. So you say, human trafficking, what is it and what should we do about it? Well, first of all, my name is Julie Wiseman. I'm an associate here at Eagle Ridge Church of God. The term associate implies duties as assigned. However, I like to view it as duties as ordained. God was directing my path when I was challenged to become involved in this issue while attending our national convention in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Jim Lyon, our national director, was talking about human trafficking and what was happening in Cuttack, India, and gave the history of the Church of God involvement in that fighting that horrific issue, specifically in India. I came home from the convention and contacted Bonnie Lauderman, our go-to gal here in the state of Michigan for human trafficking and those concerns. And so my journey began. Bonnie encouraged me to become involved in the local task force and take training from our state director, and I did. Our local task force was in its infant stages, so this was a good time to get involved. I attended training from our state director, Jane White, and it was at that training my eyes were opened to the severity of this issue and the hugeness of it. And how are we going to face these challenges here in Michigan? So first, I need to tell you what human trafficking is, because I think we all have a misconception. This first slide tells you two things. Number one, sex trafficking is commercial sex, an act induced by force, fraud, coercion, or in which a person is performing the act is under the age of 18. Then the second one is labor trafficking. That's using force, fraud, coercion to recruit, harbor, transport, obtain, or employ a person for labor or services in domestic servitude, farm work, and factory workers. So there's three words that are very specific to both areas, and that is force, fraud, coercion. So these aren't words I use every day, so I had to look them up. So I looked up, what does force mean? Webster says, force is a physical power or strength possessed by a living being. He used force to open the window, or the strength or power exerted upon an object, physical force. The law says, though, force is unlawful violence threatened or committed against persons or property. In other words, it's persuasive power. Power to convince. The second word is fraud. And it's defined as deceit or trickery, or a practice or breach of confidence. It's perpetuated for profit or gain to some unfair or dishonest advantage. An example of this is passing bad money or trying to deceive people with money. Then coercion is defined as using force or power to gain compliance, like the puppeteer controlling the little puppet. Wow, that's powerful to me. Not those words that we use in our everyday language, but there is a word that we use every day, or possibly every day, that one we can really relate to, and that word is promise. Kevin Bales, who wrote the book Slave Next Door, which is a story about a young girl who was trafficked here in the state of Michigan, describes promise this way. It's the perfect storm of how poverty, chaos, destructive relationships, and the potential of opportunity will exist for those who desperately have listened and have been promised a better life through a job or a relationship based on care within its reach, but discover the robbing of their humanity, their soul, and the control with no way out. So, the elements of human trafficking involve three things. Number one, luring the person with a promise. And the second is doing it through force, fraud, or coercion. And the third is the end game, where they're in servitude or in bondage. Now, I'm going to show you a video in just a few minutes. It's from the movie Break the Chain, which was a documentary film addressing the issues of human trafficking within Michigan and the United States to show that some of the things that are misrepresented or exploited. Break the Chain is the second documentary produced and is directed by Laura Swanson and Kirk Mason. I'm going to show the trailer, just a few minutes of it. And in the trailer, our executive director, Jane White, addresses some of the misconceptions about what is or is not human trafficking. So let's play that video.
Over the long 6 years I spent with you, it is very clear you had no respect for me. You said you would kill me with your bare hands when I was only a child. After hearing over and over how you said I was horrible and worthless, I cannot erase those messages. The physical torture, beating me and starving me, you inflicted was so painful that I prayed that night that God would either help me to be free or allow your assaults to kill me. You worked the four of us to death. I would dream of being able to rest. Pain is something I will never forget.
Michigan prosecutor charged.
Epidemic here in Metro Detroit.
Only 18 years old.
Websites like Backpage.com.
$1,400 an hour.
Human trafficking is extremely profitable. It's so profitable that we're seeing some drug traffickers get out of drug trafficking and into human trafficking.
Human trafficking is something that we have never been without in the United States. We even fought a war. Everybody knows that. And there is an assumption that that indeed ended slavery. It did not end slavery.
There are about 21 million people around the world that are being trafficked.
I was 7 when I was brought to the U.S. by a trafficker. He pretty much told my parents that he was going to give me education here, better life.
You know, when we talk about this, we often talk about it as something that's very much hidden in plain sight.
They typically think of human trafficking that they've seen in the media.
Dramatized, made huge on the screen, and that's really not necessarily how it happens. It is happening everywhere around us.
Sex trafficking is the second fastest growing criminal enterprise in the world.
The girl that was up in the top bedroom, that's where he shot her in the face. At the age of 13, really didn't have anywhere to go. I was pretty much homeless.
At first, of course, they treat you like a queen, give you everything you want. Slowly but surely, you end up on the bottom of the barrel, but still giving everything you make.
We were to give him all of our money. I had given every dime that I made.
I'm a part of a film crew. I'm doing a documentary film.
You know what I'm saying? I basically gave him all my money.
Have the cops ever come here for trafficking? But you do know that there's human trafficking?
Maybe.
All of us are victims of human trafficking.
Every one of us could be one of them.
We need all types of people to talk about it correctly and fully informed.
This is just another civil right that we have to fight for. People are entitled to be free.
Do what you do well, educate the communities you're already in, and you will make a huge difference.
So first of all, thank you so much for speaking with us. And the first thing that I wanted to ask you is, do you want to remain anonymous?
No.
So here's the teacher in me. You have a worship folder, and you have six lines in there. And I'm going to put up some examples on the screen. And you say yes or no to human trafficking. You've gotten some information, so let's see if we can apply it to some actual situations. Okay, the first slide will say, this young girl, Kelsey, found an interesting opportunity to work at a summer camp. She's expected to work 70 or 80 hours at that camp a week for less than minimum wage after room and board. She's only allowed to contact her friends and family on emergency basis late at night or on the weekend. So is this yes to human trafficking? Yes. Or is it no to human trafficking? What do you say? No. Yes? Some people say yes. Some people say no. I see Ted going, no. Absolutely. That's perfect. That's the right answer. No, it is not trafficking because she is allowed to talk to her friends. It's not a great job. I mean, she's working a lot of hours, and I'm thinking that there's some jobs up north in the summer that are like that. Okay, here's another one. This is a musical artist. Travels throughout the country on a bus looking to recruit young individuals to engage in their merchandise sales. So is this yes to trafficking or no to trafficking? No. No? Any yeses? It's no. They're just working their tail off. They're being pack horses, so to speak, for the artist. Okay, here's another one. This is a young girl, Maggie. She's a junior in high school. She offers sexual services on the weekends in order to have a little extra spending money. And splits the earnings with her boyfriend, who sets up the connections. Is this yes to trafficking or no to trafficking?
Yes.
Yes. Why, Ben? She's under 18. And he's got her coerced into believing she's going to have a better life because she's got a little extra money. Great. Okay, next one. Lynn is a college girl who works as an adult entertainment venue as an escort, and this pays her tuition to go to school. At times, her clients physically or sexually assault her during her altercation or encounters. Is this yes to trafficking or no to trafficking? No. It's sad, but it's not trafficking. Okay, now we have Isaac. Isaac works at a gas station for his uncle and is expected to work 16 hours a day. He sleeps on a cot in the back and is beaten if he discusses leaving or talks to any of the customers about his situation. He is paid minimum wage for the first 40 hours. Is this yes to trafficking? No to trafficking. Yes, it is, because he's being forced and he's being coerced, and his uncle is a fraud. Okay, next one, Casey. She finds an interesting work opportunity involving being a nanny in a different part of the country. Once she arrives, she's found her wages cannot keep up with her room and board expenses required by her employer. Now she's in debt to her employer and can't return home until the debt is paid. Is this yes to trafficking or no?
Yes.
Yes. Very sad. It doesn't have to be all about one thing. There's many things involved in the labor trafficking as well. Okay, this next slide shows a graph of the human trafficking cases in 2014 from the National Human Trafficking Resource Center. And you can see that most of it is happening on the coastlines, the East and West Coast. Our next slide is indicators of trafficking. Now, this is a long list, so I thought I'd pull out three that I think are important. Number one, the false promise. And we talked about that a little earlier, that this is a false promise. Second, fear of retaliation, like the gas station attendant. He was afraid that he'd get beat up. The third is not in control of their own money, and that's the girl in the nanny situation. And those are three things that are indicators. Our state demographics are similar to Florida in that we have tourism, agriculture, international waterways, and an international border. Large events have a reputation of being high for demand of trafficking situations, but that's not really true because it's already there. They just bring it to the forefront. Our next slide tells us to be alert. We have another video we're going to show, and this is produced by the Michigan State Police Troopers. And this is, it was created for the service industry, but I thought you folks would get an, it would be good for you to watch it and see what they're telling the people in service industries to look out for.
When you work in the service industry, you see a lot of homes in all sorts of areas. People and even pets. Out here, you have to take your job seriously and always be on the lookout to find better ways to safeguard the people you serve.
What kind of shop are you guys going to go in here?
Tool and die shop.
Great. Welcome to the neighborhood.
Thanks.
Or the products that protect their homes, or services to get their homes running just right. You work hard every day because you don't want to miss a thing.
Like you just did.
Do I have your attention?
Workers who are in people's homes on a day-to-day basis are a critical part of identifying potential cases of human trafficking and combating this horrific crime.
Workers, you play an important role in the detection of human trafficking. You are on the front lines, in homes and in neighborhoods. Now that you know some of the signs to look for, you can help save those who are being victimized. Together, we can make a difference. If you identify someone you think may need help, please contact the National Human Trafficking Resource Center at 888-373-7888. This is a toll-free hotline. It's available to answer calls from anywhere in the country, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and all calls are confidential. On behalf of the Michigan State Police, thank you for your help in keeping our community safe.
So now I've presented the bad news. I like good news. So we're going to talk about the good news. What is good? Many people are at work in our state and in the nation to help prevent this epidemic and help prosecute those who are abusing. Our Attorney General set up with the legislature of the first Michigan Human Trafficking Commission. And that commission works with victim-centered, trauma-informed approach, showing that victims are victims and not the actual perpetrators. In 2013, the commission had two goals. Number one, assess the threat of human trafficking. And number two, to develop policy for legislation. I heard a state trooper, you heard the state trooper give the hotline number. So this is when I'm gonna tell everybody, get out your cell phone. You may, get out your cell phone, come on, get it out. Get out your cell phone. And we're gonna enter the hotline number in your cell phone. Okay, it's 888-373-888. Easy to remember. 888-373-888. And you can call that the HT hotline, human trafficking hotline. What? Yes, that's what I said. 888. Thank you. All right. Did I get the numbers inverted?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. All right. I'm glad you're alert. That means you're alert. See, I did that to test you. The state of Michigan has a very active task force, and they're made up of 90 member agencies and ministries throughout the state of Michigan. And while I was there, I have met some very interesting people who really care about others. Kelly Carter is the head of the Human Trafficking Commission, and she works in the Attorney General's office. Every month, she gives us a report on some of the things that they've been doing in legislature to actually convict persons who are doing this horrible thing of trafficking others and taking advantage of others. I've included that website information in your worship folder that you can go to the Attorney General's website on human trafficking and get additional information. There are court programs being put into place to help victims to get, as they reenter society, to get housing, to develop skills, to get medical and dental care, and to get job training that they need. We have a state trooper that is part of our team. His name is Will Smith, and he's on the go all over the state of Michigan. And he says the typical phrase that you would hear from a police officer, if you see something, say something, yes. And we all heard that, unfortunately, this last weekend with what was going on over in Mount Pleasant. And so, if you see something, say something. Leslie King is one of the members of our board, and she began a survivor-led program here in Michigan. It's called Sacred Beginnings, and it's located in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Her goal is to have a place for survivors to go where they feel love and get prepared to reenter society. She said it's peaceful, safe, and filled with wonderful furniture and things so that they can feel that this is a wonderful home and they can get that love they need to go back. When we look at the chart of the basic needs of victims, I'm overwhelmed. I look at that and think, I can't do this. I can't help these people. But I can be part of a group that does, and that's why we have a task force and why it's so important. So you might be saying, well, this is national and state. Julie, what's going on in Midland County? Well, we have a Midland County task force that is made up of ministries and agencies here in Midland, and you can see that was taken at Salvation Army. We are working together to create a safer community. There's a large number of documented cases there aren't a large number of documented cases here in Midland, But we're kind of vulnerable to the things that could happen for trafficking to happen. So, what can we do today? First of all, you can keep your eyes open, as the state trooper in the video reminded us. We can keep our eyes open as it relates to the use of computers and cell phones for our children. We can keep our eyes open for anything that might look out of place or odd. Also, we can shop wisely. That may be a strange thing to say, but we can become educated on the number of companies that operate fairly. The Department of Labor has a website, and I've included that on your sheet as well. There's over 1,100 pages of countries that have active child labor. I didn't read all of them, just in case you wanted to know. But you can go and look down alphabetically about the countries that are just not being fair to other children, to their children. Also, you can shop at stores that use online or use online companies that participate in fair trade. There's a website for fair trade that you can go to as well. So, another thing you can do is become involved in the life of a young person. This doesn't have to be a massive contract that you would have. It can be something as simple as a friendly handshake after the service this morning. Or watch the daily news for times that they maybe have done something, or watch Facebook and see what their parents have posted, and congratulate them. Tell them, hey, you did a great job on that. Send them a card or something. God will guide you in the things that you can do to help be involved in the lives of young people. Consider being a foster parent. My neighbor did that a year ago, and she is changing the lives of young women every day. I was reminded by a friend the other day, when you deal with young people, you need to remember James 1:19. Now, how many of you know that off the top of your head? I didn't either. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Great scripture to keep in our minds at all times. So remember what Trooper Smith said. If you see something, say something. The hotline number, which I hope you have in your cell phones today. And if you see anything that's out of order, call local law enforcement. I have additional resources out in the lobby, on the lobby table today. So let's return to Queen Esther. So what do we think happened to Queen Esther? Some of you know the story of her, how she was able to use her position as queen to eventually save the Jewish people living in Persia at the time. Esther 9 tells how the Jewish people celebrated that victory. If you'd like to turn to Esther 9, you can at this time. And I'm going to read parts of that. Mordecai recorded these events and sent letters to Jews near and far throughout all the provinces of King Xerxes, calling on them to celebrate an annual festival in these 2 days. He told them to celebrate these days with a festival of gladness, giving gifts to each other and food to the poor and presents. This would commemorate a time when the Jews gained relief from their enemies, when their sorrow was turned to gladness and their mourning to joy. And then skipping down, these days would be remembered and kept from generation to generation and celebrated by every family throughout the province and cities of the empire. This festival of Purim would never cease to be celebrated among the Jews, nor would the memory of that happening ever die among their descendants. So the Jewish people celebrated the day in which they rested from their enemies. Doesn't that sound great, to rest from your enemies? They made an anniversary of their rest. The Feast of Purim is, in a sense, a Sabbath, a joyous rest. This leads us to deliberate remembrance of all God has done to set us free. We are free from the oppression through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ through his blood on the cross. David said it well in Psalm 116, verses 12 and 13. How can I repay the Lord for all his acts of kindness to me? I will celebrate my deliverance and call on the name of the Lord. But not every girl becomes Queen Esther. Some girls are coerced into believing that they can have a better life. They are given nice presents, pretty clothes, jewelry, maybe a place to live. But there's a high price to pay for that seeming luxury. Esther was fortunate. Even though she was an orphan, she had support from her cousin. Mordecai kept contact with her. Also, she had support of the person in charge of her new environment. He saw that she had potential and encouraged her. He was a mentor to her. Mordecai also challenged her in this most famous quote from the book of Esther, Esther 4:14. And who knows that you have come to this royal position for such a time as this? And then she had the support of her Jewish community. She asked the people and her royal staff to pray and fast with her for 3 days to seek God's will. Some Jewish people still fast today prior to the Feast of Purim as a symbol of Esther's three-day fast. Preceding that, when she was courageous enough to go before King Xerxes, many give presents to others and money to feed the poor. Some of you may remember Gordon Marine. He's a dear friend of us for many years. He challenged those of us who took his class at East Ashman to remember the least of these. As Jesus reminds us in Matthew 25:40, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. I can see all of your wheels spinning, those of you who are still awake. So, Julie, how can I help when I already have 10 plates spinning in the air? I mean, I know you are all busy. You are. And we have just finished an 8-week study on the good and beautiful community. And we had soul training every week. But I think that we have something going on here that is unique. And here's why I think so. In week one, we were reminded that we are a peculiar community. We were challenged to spend 2 hours a week with God and do 4 random acts of kindness, or intentional acts of kindness. The second week, we were challenged to pray, watch, and listen. Our third week helped us to live unselfishly at home, work or school, church, and in our daily life. Week 4 led us into a Christ-centered, following the Spirit, and collaborating in ministry with others. Week 5 reminded us that to know we have been forgiven, and so that we can forgive others and begin that process of reconciliation. Week 6 was one of my favorite. That was encouraging us to encourage others. And I like to do that. I like to give people happy thoughts and to give them encouraging words. And also to create an accountability friend, someone that you can go to when you need help. And then week 7, Deb reminded us about being a generous community. It's not about how much or how little we have, but it's about our attitude about what we have. And then last week, Peter led us into this most wonderful worship service we had last week, where we all were inspired and felt God's presence as we read our statement of faith together. Now this week, we can see that none of these were complicated. I don't think they were complicated. They might be a little time-consuming, but it wasn't this huge commitment of time to do things that we don't normally do. It's asking to change our attitude about what we are already doing. So, this week we were challenged to write our soul training plan in some of the small groups that you've met in or will be meeting in this week. And we're asked to remember Matthew 22:37-40. The first and greatest commandment is that we love God with all that we are, our heart, our soul, and our mind. The second commandment is likened to that we love our neighbor as ourself. We have examples of in Scripture of people who have loved their neighbors as theirself. In Exodus 17, Moses was holding up his arms. And as long as he held up his arms, the Jewish people won the battle. And when his arms began to sag, the Jewish people lost the battle. So Moses' arm soon became tired, and he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. And then they stood on either side of Moses, holding up his hands, so his hands were steady until sunset. Then in Proverbs 3 we read, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is your power to act." And then Galatians 6:2, Paul reminds us, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." You see, it doesn't have to be complicated or involved. It can be as simple as what Aaron did for Moses when he found him a stone to sit on. Or we can become part of a community that can help those who have been trafficked. And you can see the next slide will show you that you may choose to look away, but you can never say that you did not know. So, was Esther given a great honor and privilege, or was she a victim of human trafficking? You have the information today now to answer that question. There's information in the lobby. Please feel free to stop by that table and pick up one of the flyers and be aware of what's going on. Let's pray. Dear Father, as we think about those who are less fortunate than us, we know that we have a commitment that we need to go forth to them. And as you've encouraged us that we love those around us as well as we love ourselves, help us to do that as well. We pray that you would be with us as we sing this final song, that it would truly lift our hearts up and be aware of your presence in our lives each day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Romans 5, we read these words. "We boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." You know, God has provided this process to go from oppression and suffering to hope. And he calls us to be a part of that process in the lives of others. Please stand as we sing our closing song.
We pray for blessings. We pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while you hear each spoken need, yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if trials of this life are God's mercies in disguise? We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. We cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not enough.